We are back. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis talking with our guest, Tom Warner, first-time guest, artist, poet, historian, soccer player, and the guy that was running in place. Was he exercising? No, he was in a beam of light, according to the witnesses. And then, boom, he was gone 7 minutes. And Tom is here telling us the story. Tom, where were you? Line, please. Where were you?
Let's get to where it really got spooky.
Okay. Oh, not yet, huh? Okay.
Well, anyway, so you can imagine, I was afraid, right after this happened, I didn't even want to go outside. You know, once the sun went down, that was fine. I didn't go out. So
you had memory of it. It was the next morning when your brother said something.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have any loss of memory at all?
Well, the next morning I got up and I went and I started ironing my pants,
They're
pretty, to get ready to go for school. Only we had another day off before school started.
Interesting.
And because I was so, shook up. And my mother says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting clothes." And then I realized, "I'm getting ready for school for tomorrow," I said. And I just remember saying that. And just then the radio station came on, which it was 7 o'clock. The radio local WSBS came on. And I remember distinctly that the announcer came on and he goes, "This is Tom J, WSBS and local news. There was reports of UFOs flying over South Berkshire." And then he went on to say something about, I guess it wasn't swamp gas. And I'm like, I didn't even know what he was talking about, but I felt relieved that I wasn't the only one that saw this thing,
Uh-huh.
And so when we got to school, no one really talked about it. Some kids looked at me like I had lobsters coming out of my ears, but no one really said anything, And we didn't talk about it, And I was a pretty big kid anyway. I was one of the bigger kids in my grade, So no one really said much. Not then anyway. So I couldn't wait for the weekends, So 2 weeks later, my brother says to me, "Tommy, let's go out and have a catch." I said, no, the sun's starting to go down. He goes, "No, we got plenty of time. Come on, let's go have a catch." And he talked me into having a catch, So we go out in our yard and I throw the ball to him. He throws it to me. I throw it to him. He throws it to me. I throw it to him. The ball goes about 15, 20 feet. The ball stops in midair, stops, and comes right back at me and goes past me.
And oh.
What? And I'm chasing after the ball. And as I'm chasing after the ball, my other brothers were running up towards me, coming from our property from the brook with another neighbor. And the neighbor's screaming, "Did you see the UFO? Did you see the UFO? It was right over Tommy's head. Oh, my God." And they're like, and I'm thinking like, "Oh, no, not again." And then they pointed out where the UFO was. And it was that same, it was high enough, but I could see the lights. They were color lights I had never seen before, And though my medium was only Crayola back then, I could, I was had an appreciation for colors, but these were colors I'd never seen before. And mental telepathy says, "You're okay now." And it was like it was talking to me. Said, "You're okay now." And it was gone. And I remember just running in the house. And as I did, I realized that the stars were out. So when I released the ball, the sun had just gone down, and there was that little glow left. So it was dark. So in a moment, 45 minutes had gone by in a flash. Just gone, So again, I went into shock again, and I don't have much memory about it. After that, I just remember saying about that there are orbs in my room, and I made my brothers another time that fall to to make sure that there were no aliens on the roof. And I made him come out and show me that they were with a flashlight. There's nothing up there, Tommy. You can go back to bed now. But at 10 years old, I slept with a teddy bear. You know, I didn't tell anybody, but, you know.
I've heard rumors that's still going on there, Tom.
Oh, you had to give that up, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I forgot we were on the air.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks. You know, now everybody knows I sleep with a teddy bear.
You know, well, anyway, you know, it was going to come out.
Yeah, it was going to come out. Anyway, so I pretty much thought that was it. You know, we weren't going to discuss it anymore. You know, life was sort of normal, no more sightings. And then when I was 13, we were up on Lake Champlain, and we would swim from the shore out to this dock, and we'd hang out on the dock and jump off and play off, you know, what kids did, swam all day, you know, until your hands were all pruny. It was time to go home for supper. And I said, I'm going home for supper. And I dove in the water. Another kid dove back, and then we swam the shore. And when we stood up, and the guy looks at me and goes, you know about UFOs? I looked at him. I said, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Said, how would you know that? And he looked at me. He goes, because I was on that UFO, and I remember you and your brother. And I went, I never met this guy in my life, you know. And
he was one of those scared faces.
I was like stunned. Wow. You know, my brother wasn't on the first time, so that was the second time.
Okay.
So I was, not only was I witnessed on the ground in a beam, disappear, witnessed, put back down, witnessed on a UFO. Mm. And that became a life of why. That was the perplexing question that I would live for my whole life. And it was, you know, I didn't want to talk about it. I you know, I'd have bizarre happenings the rest of my life. And in fact, I wasn't going to talk about it. And fast forward, and why I came forward, you know, there was one guy who was interviewed in that. It was Tom Reed who was interviewed, and Tom asked me, would I say that I saw something that night? And I said, yeah, of course I would. I'll back you up on anything, because your story, you know, resonated with me, and it was the same night. And so he asked me to be on New England Legends, and my one line was, how close was it? If I had a baseball, I could have pinged it. You know, and I could have hit it with, you know, I often think, like, you know, I don't think it would have been a good idea to throw a baseball at a UFO, you know. I often wonder what the results would have been, but anyway.
It would have been Travis Walton results.
It would have been Travis. I've met Travis, you know, I've heard his, you know, I try not to listen to other stories, you know, because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know him personally, you know, but he was in this area, and I brought a friend down to meet him, you know, but, you know, nice guy, by the way.
Yeah. Very nice guy.
Travis, if you got your ears on, hello. Anyway, the story started coming out because it was being promoted, and I still didn't want to talk about it. And then I got asked to be in a documentary, and then the Historical Society in Great Barrington put the whole thing in there, in their archives, and I was asked to comment on it from the board of directors, and asked what I thought about it. And I said, it's true. And I said, it happened to me too. And so I thought, still, okay, that's it. I'm done. And then I was asked to be in a documentary. And then 2018, there was a radio station out of Boston, WGBH. I think they were, I think that was the call letters. But anyway, Adam Riley was the, did the interview. And I said, I would interview as long as they told the truth about that it happened that night, that it was not just one person. And it wasn't just the guy down in Sheffield and his family. It wasn't, you know, just me, that it happened to others, you know. They didn't have the same experiences or to the depth that happened to me or the other guy, but that's, it wasn't just about one person, and I didn't want it to be about me. And so they did the interview, but when, after they did the interview, some UFO, you know, podcast or whatever took that interview and they spliced it together to, and I wasn't even barely in it, you know, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing any more interviews. I'm done. I was done with it. And then Unsolved Mysteries called and I wasn't going to do that. And then they agreed to tell the truth about that night. And I thought they did a very fine job. I mean, they really did. And after that came out, you know, that was the floodgates. And, but prior to that happening, I wrote a book. I wrote the book just to really just to, for historical purposes of, you know, writing my autobiography to just to leave it behind to, you know, what my memories were and things that had happened. And it was a historical perspective. You know, there's a poem I wrote, a book on the bookshelf, and it's like, it's recording. My great grandfather was a historical writer, and he, and I appreciated those articles that he wrote, like on the 1856 election and what that was like. And I said, I have to write this because when I'm gone, it won't be recorded for the family. You know, I never really thought much about where the book would go or anything like that, or my story, who would hear my story. I really, I didn't expect to be doing interviews all over the world. But I knew the importance of it. It wasn't, I didn't care about the fame. I could care less about that. I mean, I'm more known as an artist anyway, you know?
It's not always the best fame either.
Well, it's...
It's not always the nicest thing. You know, you get a lot of hate from that.
Well, you know, surprisingly, I've had very little negative from it. You know, I might get some strange... Back when I was a teenager, it was like, yeah. But the stigma of it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember interviewing an Air Force pilot, and I was sent to an Air Force pilot who had a lock-on on a UFO. And this guy was going to commit suicide until after he talked to me. And he cried, and I saw the emotion of that. And so when I came forward, when Unsolved Mysteries came out, I began to get calls, and people were reaching out to me that they thought about suicide and how they couldn't talk about this for over 50 years and their experiences. And I just felt that it was necessary for me to be able to make myself available. In fact, you know, I just got a call today from one of your listeners from, you know, down in Mississippi, you know, and he had an experience on the same night as I did.
This many years later, and you meet up with someone, that's amazing. Yeah.
They reach out from all over the world. And if I can be of help to people, I'm willing to put myself out there so that other people, if they need to talk, they talk. I'm easily reachable, and I really do. I do reach back, you know. And I think that's important. And I thought to myself, well, why was I like this messenger? You know, because I feel like I'm a messenger for all this stuff. And I began to think all the memories that were put in me. You know, I have, you know, I talk about having memories of another planet and showing this other planet. And it's like, how did those memories get in there? You know, the human brain encodes things. You can remember, like, when you're a kid and it was your Christmas, and you can think back. Why? Because you can recall memory. And it's like a movie, except I have two movies.
And have you ever been regressed?
Sorry?
Have you ever been regressed? Done hypnosis at all?
I feel like I regress all the time.
Besides your normal regression every day, just that natural thing.
Every day. No, it's funny. My brother would always say to me, you know that hypnosis stuff? You should go under hypnosis. I remember enough. How much more do I want to remember?
You do remember quite a bit. And well, do you Go ahead. Jinx. Do you think a lot of people get taken, or do you think it's more of a rare thing? And do you think any other family members are?
Nah, it's a rare thing. It's rare. I hear people who have had experiences. Now, on that particular night, I can say that I do believe the Reed family had an experience that they were taken up by something. I don't know exactly their circumstances. Definitely Melanie, because I ID'd her. And definitely those other kids. And some of the other people came forward. There was a woman in Hartford who said she was there the same night, and she was abducted. You know, so it's not like there's 100 or there's this club of abductees, but there's enough. And it's rare. It's extremely rare. You know, so if you're worried about looking out and, you know, so when a UFO comes down, it's 35 feet above your head. You're in trouble.
Like your dad said, run.
Well, I did, except it just kept me in place. In fact, there was another woman I knew, and
hold that story for us. We got to go for right now, and we'll be back to talk to you and hear a little bit more about this. When he talks about the running in place, I think of the Flintstones every time. Stay with us. Connie Willis here, and you're listening to our first time guest, Tom Warner, on Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. We have first-time guest Tom Warner in, talking about what happened to him September 1, 1969. Now, Tom, you've mentioned this name a couple times. The other name, Tom Reed, was that the story that a lot of people heard about? Same thing, but that was kind of out there more often, and then you kind of came along the way. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it was the same night.
Because it is the same night, okay, in the same town and everything.
Same night, eight miles away, and he had his story. I had mine. He's been on many, many shows, so some people, he's known about it. You know,
I'm just recognizing that name, and it's interesting that it was across the board.
I never even talk about it, and when he put his stuff in the Great Barrington Historical Society, the society came to me and said, you know, is this true? You know, because, you know, I'm a local historian. We've been in the same house for six generations since 1835. So my family has a lot of respect in the community. And I backed his story 100%. And I didn't want to talk about it. You know, someone else wanted to talk about it. That was fine. But once it came out on Unsolved Mysteries, that was it. Everybody wanted to know my story. They wanted to know, you know, the details. And I actually had started writing my autobiography before I was even approached by Unsolved Mysteries. And of course, it's my first book, so it took me a long time. I'm not a Pulitzer Prize writer, but I get the stories across. I'd say I would describe myself as a raconteur, you know, but there's a lot that you can't talk about it all in one night, because unless you give me an 8-hour interview. I mean, but it's interesting stuff that's in there. You know, I talk about the Men in Black, which we haven't talked about, deep government stuff. There's a chapter in there about the, you know, there's a little talk about the mafia in there too. And
oh, wow.
And
yeah.
The,
there,
and
this
the Men
subject
in Black and stuff like that.
But this subject matter is like incredibly deep, and you know, there's a lot to talk about. Listen, I want to get some people on the phone over here. So
right. I'd love to talk to somebody.
Yeah, let me grab some here real quick and let them be able to get a chance to talk with you on wild card line number 2, Mark out of Baltimore. Hey there, Mark. How are you? Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I love your shows. And Mr. Warner, I commend you for coming out and telling your story.
I
want to tell you that about 6 years ago, here in Baltimore, there were some reports of some UFO activity here in Baltimore County where I live. And so I took my telescope out to the darkest area that I could find in my neighborhood around a ball field. And so out of nowhere, a beam of light appeared. And I was so scared, I ran and I hid under a tree. But the beam of light, I suppose it was interested in my telescope, because it went right over, it shined right on my telescope, and it lifted my telescope off the ground. And I'm supposing it wasn't too interested in my telescope, because when the light went out, my telescope had dropped to the ground and I was out $800. But my question would be, do you think that the beam of light was some type of observational or, you know, analytical device? I mean, could it be something that when you were in it, did you have the feeling that maybe it was, taking information about you?
Well, that's an interesting question, because it had a characteristic where it could control movement. We know that, because I was running and I couldn't move. And I wasn't the only one that this happened to. You know, I'm not going to mention their names because, you know, they didn't want to come forward at this particular time. This was out in the West Coast. So it was an energy beam. And think about it. It transported me. I mean, that's bizarre. You know, I mean, it's just bizarre. But like you said, it picked up my telescope. Well, you know, if we look back, and this is what I always try to tell people, if you could go back in time where we are now and say the war of 1776 was on, and you could just fly over with an F-15 fighter or something, they'd be shocked. And that's the same with us. We are just at a different time in humanity. And I think what I've always stressed is that we have to protect what we have here on Earth, because if we're going to advance humanity, we need to be able to survive to get to that point. And we're destroying the Earth. We're destroying each other. We really have to have a rethink who we are as human beings. And we have to do it one at a time. We have to just look ourselves in the mirror. That's it.
Thank you, Mark, for that call. Let's go to east of the Rockies, talk to Michael out of Albany, New York. Michael, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello, Connie.
Hey.
And it's the fellow that met the families up in South Corning that were all like heavyset Jewish people covered with long hair from foot to toe. At the toes, all the way up over their head, but their face was not covered. You know, it was like all of the body was, you know? At the same time, there were a lot of UFOs I've run into, as a New York State inspector, I would speak on these things. Also, the question of how I could see things in before we were at any point given in inspections, whether they were underground or above the ground. I didn't tell them directly, but indirectly, that I had the experiences of being radiated by a passing UFO. And that seemed to do a lot in my way of awakening. And listening to him, I wonder, does he see trailers like you'd see if you were going to go to a movie? Does he see trailers of the past and the future?
So you're talking right to him. So, Tom, well, wow, trailers, interesting.
Well, yes.
Yes.
I don't. I see things before they happen. You know, I don't talk about it much, and it's something I don't like to talk about because I see events, important events, before they happen. It's no doubt why I'm still alive to this day.
So you've seen, have you seen more like international and national type things, or just, or what? Can you give an example?
Personal things, saving lives. I've saved many lives. I've seen, I just see an event before it happens. And, you know, it's, which is funny because, in a way, because I sometimes I'll see sporting events and I'll tell people who's gonna
make
win
a
the
bet
World Series and how many games, and I had friends out in LA, and they goes, well, how are the LA teams gonna do? And before they even played, I said Dodgers in six, Lakers in six. And they go like,
dude,
no way.
Take advantage of that.
dude. And then they go, who's going to win the Super Bowl? This was this fall. I said, oh, that's going to be Tampa Bay. And of course, my LA friends, you know, they call me up. They're like, do you bet on these things? I said, nah, I don't bet. You know,
tell me, I'll bet no one's going to believe whatever happened. So you're safe across the board. You won't be in jail.
No, because, you know, it's just, you know, sports are a thing that are, you know, one thing out of whack, and it can change. But that's, you know, in a 7-game series, I predicted all the winners last year.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It's,
man.
It's one of those weird things. We
got to use that.
I used to be on a sports program, and they'd ask me the winner. And it was back when Colorado was playing New Jersey Devils. And he goes, even before they got there, they asked me who I thought was going to be in the Stanley Cup. I picked the Stanley Cup winner, and I picked the Stanley Cup MVP. And he goes, if that's right, I'm taking you out to lunch. Well, I ate like a hog that day.
Good for
but
you.
You know, it's some of it's very frightening. I mean, honestly, it's like the pace has picked up over the years. I mean, it's not just sports I see. I mean, I saw that I was going to save two boys from drowning, and I did. And it's, you know, and I've done some things that were pretty frightful, you know, and
like what?
It's just what it is. And I never wanted to talk about it, but you know, by talking about it, if I can help others, that's all. It's why I'm on your program. It's why I've done, you know, Martin's program, Martin Willis and
Martin Willis. Yeah. And, I'm glad you mentioned him.
Yeah. Martin Willis.
We're not related.
Not related. He'd let me know. We're not related. And I said, oh, Connie Willis. Oh, yeah, I'll interview with her. No problem. Must be related to Martin. But anyway.
UFO podcast.
I did all this because if I could help somebody, I'm compelled to do this.
Well, do you think that you've been abducted all your life, and do you think because of that these abilities have gotten better and better and better because maybe they see you more and it opens up more, or just,
well,
any thoughts
wiser
to that?
You become wiser over time, and yet I still, you know, you still have that doubt, you know, and it's like, you know, you put those pictures up of those orbs.
And yes, they're up. Yeah.
Only a year ago, I brought someone, a client, and he says, can you bring me down to the bridge, which was where Tom Reed happened to see his UFO. I said, sure. And we get down to Sheffield, and the guy goes, I think I saw a UFO. And I said, stop it. I'm trying to drive here, you know? I'm like, I don't want to be looking up at the sky and drive off the road, you know? But then when I was going back home by myself, I thought I saw something. And I go, well, that's weird. And I'm thinking, like, am I just spooked out, you know? And I said, well, if this thing drops in front of me, this will be another story to tell. And then when I was coming out Alford Road past Simon's Rock, where the road goes to Lake Mansfield, and I thought I saw a UFO off to my left. And I had that mental telepathy. It's clear as a bell. It's just like your voice talking to me. And I said, well, if you're there, leave me a sign. And I pull in my drive. And I look out. And there's a green orb, like, just sitting in my lilac tree. And I said, I have my cell phone. And I get out, and I take the picture of it, and I just kept pushing the button. And the orb, and those pictures are very close together. And the orb went from the lilac tree onto the house, into the snow, advanced, came out of the snow and went right into me.
What'd that feel like?
Well, I had a lot of adrenaline. You know, I was, and I said to my wife, geez, you got to see these pictures. And she went out with her camera right away and took pictures, and there was nothing there. I said, it's gone. Trust me, it's gone.
Yeah, it was there. I mean, those are great shots. Beautiful color.
You can't deny it. The green is glowing off the house. I mean, yeah. You know, you can blow those things up, you know? And it was like, and it came, boom!
But it's interesting that it went into you. You know, I believe these things are like a transportation, but man, that thing went into you.
Yeah, you can see it coming right at me. I was in the same spot. I just kept click, 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 you know? And it was like, so what's the purpose, you know? So where do I go from here? You know, I wrote the book, you know, I've done these podcasts. I really don't know how many more interviews I even want to do.
Well, you know what? Ours is finished. Time flies here. It flies, doesn't it?
Time flies. And so I've been asked a possible movie. Who knows? In the last year, I've talked 3 people out of suicide. So that's done good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, is there any last things you want to say before you go?
You mean before the UFO that's outside my house, then I come out of here?
Yeah, before you get in.
Honestly, first of all, I want to thank all your listeners out there for tuning in and some of the most god-awful hours.
on your coast.
Not a Nighthawk. And for those people that listen to the podcast the next day, yeah, it was great to be recording this with you, and I appreciate you, you know, reaching out to me and to tell this bizarre story, you know. And if you want more, if you want to know, you know, I listed my book, you know. I hate to even talk about the book because I hate.
And where do people find you?
Park.
No, that's okay. Where can they find you? BeyondTheStars.com?
Tom Warner, Beyond the Stars.
Okay. Tom Warner, Beyond the Stars.
It's all on your website if you're interested. It's okay. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me anywhere. You just Google me. You can find me. You can send messages to me. People reach out. And a big hey to Bill Hildeberg. down in Mississippi who reached out to me today. Big fan of yours. Listens to your program all the time down there in Mississippi.
You know, all right. Tom, really take care. Stuff, you know? Bye. So, see you later. Okay. Bye. That is Tom Warner, everybody. Thanks for being here, as well as Barbara Oakley earlier. And thank all of you all for being here as well. Appreciate it so much. Want to thank a lot of people that are a part of this, as Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, Dan Galani, Shannon Scott, Chris Burrow, Stephanie Smith, Tommy Danheiser, Lex Lonehood, Greg Bishop. Thank you so much. Sean LeDesur, Tim Banal, Gina Salvati, Donna Walker on the phones, Mike Cosio doing the board over there and producing and running it all, making sure I'm doing okay. George Knapp, Greg Foster, Mike Wolf, Angie Sillo, John C. Bond, and of course, the man, George Norrie. And thanks all of you guys. It was fun. Two nights in a row. I love it. Hope to talk to you again soon. But until we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. Catch me on my show, ConnieWillis.com. New website coming, ConnieWillis.com. Until then, hey, for Coast to Coast, I'm Connie Willis.